When the sower sows the seed, it is the landing spot that determines whether there's a crop, not the seed.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the principles of spiritual planting and harvesting.
If God's word is not working, we got to check the ground it landed on.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The idea of reaping what you sow is pretty simple and probably very familiar, but there are some deeper secrets about seeds that can make your faith blossom and grow in ways you never imagined. Let's join Dr. Evans as he unlocks some of those secrets today.
I love the Indiana Jones series. Here, the archaeologist would spend countless hours, days, weeks, months, and sometimes years in search of a valuable artifact or treasure. Many times going through perilous dangers, difficulties, resistance, in order to find this valuable thing for which he was searching. Similarly, the series National Treasure with Nicolas Cage, in pursuit of clues that would lead him to this special thing for which he was seeking or searching, that would bring truth and clarity to whatever the issue was that he needed to discover. Again, going through many adverse circumstances in order to arrive at what he desperately desired to find. Jesus speaks of a treasure. He calls this treasure the mystery of the kingdom. He says about the kingdom that this thing called the kingdom is an unusual treasure for which there ought to be nothing that gets in your way of discovering it. This word kingdom means rule. Eschatologically, in terms of the final things, it refers to the millennial reign of Christ, a subject that the Bible talks quite a bit about when Jesus Christ will return and run the whole earth from Jerusalem under his 1,000-year rule. In the meantime, he set forth during his earthly life kingdom principles, but he set them forth as a mystery, as something that was not previously understood but needed to be understood if you were going to understand the uniqueness of this treasure that he calls the kingdom. When he wanted to explain this treasure, he would use parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus would take something ordinary, something everydayish, something that would be known to all, to teach them about something of which they were unaware. Something that they needed to become familiar with. So he would take the familiar to explain the unfamiliar. He would do it in story form, and those story forms were called parables. The parable that we want to look at is the parable of the sower and the seed. It is riveting in its truth, it's transforming in its meaning. And if you discover what I call in this series, the seed principle, you will discover a secret, something that perhaps you had not understood before, that is riveting in not only its content, but riveting in its ability to transform your very existence. The story of the sower sowing the seed is explained in all three of the synoptic gospels. There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When we say synoptic gospels, these are gospels that talk about the same things. Those are only three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't talk about what Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about. They talk about the same stories, but they give the same stories from their perspective. So each story has a little different twist than the story of the other gospel writer. We'll look at all three, but we're going to major on Luke because Luke kind of does it in a simple synoptic way that we can easily follow. Beginning in verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, a sower went out to sow his seeds. Now, everybody would understand what that looked like who lived in Jesus' day, because if you were a farmer and if you were planting something, you carried on your back a bag of seeds, or you may have draped, depending on how much land you were dealing with, you may drape the bags across the back of a donkey or across the back of an ox. After the furrows had been dug, the sower, the farmer, would come out and he would reach into his bag and scatter the seeds. He would just scatter the seeds. And the seeds would fall in the furrows, but they would not only fall in the furrows, they would fall kind of all over the place because he scattered them with hand. They didn't have all the technology that we possess today that can limit it to a certain scope. And so they would scatter, sow the seed. He uses this everyday farming process that all of his audience would have understood to tell us about the seed principle. Today I want to talk to you about the secret of the seed. It's a secret. We begin by learning that Jesus Christ attracted the crowds. We read in verse 4, when a large crowd was coming together and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. So Jesus Christ has become popular. The crowds are showing up to hear him because they love the way he could tell a story. Jesus Christ could swing a story. He was the master storyteller. It says large crowds came from various cities. They were all showing up to hear him tell the story. And he spoke in a parable. He told a story that they could all identify with, and the crowds got swole. It says large crowds came to hear the master teacher teach. He tells a story about this sower who's sowing this seed, and as he sows the seed, he identifies different kind of soil that the seed falls on. The seed is the same, but the soil is different. You know, there's rocky soil, you know, there's thorny soil, there's, you know, it's different kind of soil. What Jesus wants them to know is that while the seed is the same, the place where it lands is different. Watch this. He wants them to know that the success of the seed has nothing to do with the seed. The success of the seed has everything to do with where it lands. When the sower sows the seed and it lands in different places, it is the landing spot that determines whether there's a crop, not the seed. Many times people will think, even if they don't say it, God's word doesn't work. Not working. I go to church, I hear the word every Sunday, I hear the word preached, I hear the word taught, and nothing's different. Jesus wants you to know this parable so that you know if nothing is different, it's not the problem of the seed. Because the seed hadn't changed. The same seed being sown, it's where the seed lands that determines what the seed does. If God's word is not working, we got to check the ground it landed on. We got to check where the seed wound up. We've got to investigate the nature of the soil in which the seed landed. The crowd is big. The crowd is large. They've all come to see this master teacher teach this master lesson. A whole number of lessons, actually, but this particular one. And notice what happens. Jesus has explained the parable. He's stated the story. In verse 8, the second half of verse 8, as he said these things, he would call out, "He who hath an ear, let him hear." Okay. He would call out, got a large crowd. "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He called out. He didn't just whisper it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Evidently, it was possible to have an ear and not hear. Evidently, you could have two ears and not hear. It was possible to be part of the crowd, to hear the story, and still not know what was going on. Let's contemporize it. It was possible to come to church and hear the sermon and have heard nothing at all. Have you ever talked to somebody who could repeat what you just said, but you knew they weren't listening? They could go word for word. Husbands and wives deal with this all the time. The phrase that husbands hate to hear from their wives is, "We need to talk." Or, "She's trying to talk and he's flipping the channels." Or, he can repeat, I heard you, tell you what you just said. But you know he wasn't listening. See, the crowd was there because they liked the teacher and they liked the teaching, but they weren't hearing him, although they were in the place where he was talking.
We'll find out how Jesus cleared up that confusion when our message continues in just a moment. Right now, though, we're excited to let you know about the brand new Tony Evans Study Bible. It's just been released today, and Dr. Evans is here in the studio to tell us a little bit about what makes it such a unique and powerful tool. Tony, let's go back to the beginning. Tell us about why you felt led to take on such a huge project.
Well, throughout the history of our ministry, we've emphasized this worldview called the Kingdom Agenda, the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. And because I believe that this is the unifying theme of the Bible, God's glory through the advancement of his kingdom, we wanted to show how that is reflected through the whole of Scripture. So after over 50 years of preaching and teaching, we began a 10-year journey from conception to completion of having a study Bible and accompanying Bible commentary that emphasize this kingdom theme from Genesis all the way through Revelation.
Now, I know that with a half century of sermons behind you, there was a wealth of material to draw from. But there had to be some portions of Scripture that you've never covered before. How did you deal with those?
Well, those passages that I hadn't covered, I went and taught on them. At church, I would go through those books line by line, verse by verse, and show how the truth of that book can be applied to our lives tied to this kingdom perspective that's in all of Scripture. In addition, I would use my personal study time to address passages that I had not yet taught on. I would do that at 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the morning when everything was quiet and I could totally focus on making sure I was being true to Scripture and true to the needs of the audience in putting together the material for the study Bible.
All right. Thanks, Tony. I know there are specific things about this product that make it different from any other study Bible around, and I look forward to talking with you about some of those tomorrow. But the new Tony Evans Study Bible and its companion, the Tony Evans Commentary, are available now. Friends, don't miss your chance to be among the first to get your copy. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements. And while you're there, be sure to take advantage of our current special offer on Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. In it, he explains why we need to turn to God for help winning the invisible spiritual battle going on around us. It includes specific prayers for people fighting against substance abuse, sexual or emotional problems, relational issues, and more. If you can help support Tony's ministry with a contribution right now, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy, along with all four full-length CDs in Tony's current series, The Seed Principle. This special double offer won't last long, so visit TonyEvans.org today before time runs out. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where someone is always standing by to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message. Let's join him.
The disciples, verse 9, began questioning him as to what the parable meant. Notice what he says in verse 10. He said to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it is in parable stories, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not hear. He says, I got a large crowd here, but only a small group is going to get where I'm going. Now, I got the crowd, but the crowd's not going to get it. Now, they're going to like me. They're going to like the stories I tell. They may even amen it, but they ain't going to get it. He says, but to you, referring to his disciples, it has been granted to get in on the secret. That which is not available to the rest of them. When Matthew tells the story in Matthew 13 tells the same story. He comes in verse 10 and says, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. The same thing he just said in Luke. But watch this. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. He says, I would fix them, heal them. They come broken. They've come bruised. They've come hurt. They've come struggling. And they don't get healed. They don't get better. But he says the reason they don't get better is because they come with their ears but refuse to hear. They come with their eyes but refuse to see. They come with their hearts but refuse to perceive. It is because of the state in which they come that keeps me from fixing what is wrong, even though they show up. Some of us have been showing up in church for years. We've been going to church since we were made to go as kids, since we started to go as adults, and nothing's changing. The Word of God is not working. The sermons aren't fixing anything. They just are good inspirational moments where I feel good. Well, it gets even worse than that, because he says that he that hears will get more. But the one who does not hear, it says, will lose what he heard. You may like the crowd, like the parables, like the stories, like the way it was told. Wasn't church good today? Wasn't that a great sermon? Didn't the word go forth? And between here and the parking lot, that which you have can be taken away. He says there is a secret. And to you, why to them? Why to them? Why to them? What was different about them than the crowd? It says, the disciples began questioning him, what does this parable mean? In other words, they wanted more. They wanted more. See, the crowd was satisfied with the story. You ever go to the a restaurant and order a sampler platter? You know, just a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. It's for sampling. Or maybe you order an appetizer. Now, it's supposed to work like this. The appetizer is supposed to set you up for the full meal. The appetizer is a setup for the entree. Okay? The idea is not that the appetizer is the entree, it's a setup for the bigger thing. But if you're satisfied with the appetizer, why are you going to go get the entree? The entree is supposed to be the big result of the setup by the appetizer. But if the appetizer is all you want and you feel it's all you need, that's all you're going to get. You ain't going to get an entree if you're satisfied with the appetizer. Watch this now. Hearing the Bible preached is an appetizer. Once you hear the sermon, no matter how much you liked it, enjoyed it, all you got was the appetizer. The disciples said, we want the entree. What does all this mean? What do I do with what you just taught? How am I supposed to orient myself in light of what you just said? In other words, they were not satisfied with the sermon, and most Christians are. And I don't care how great the sermon is, how long the sermon is, the best sermon in the world is an appetizer. The crowds love the appetizer. The disciples wanted a meal. They said, no, we ain't finished, Jesus. You didn't preach. You finished preaching. You finished telling the story. You finished laying it out. Now, how are we supposed to grab this? How are we supposed to use this? They were saying, not just an appetizer. Churches today are filled with people by the myriads who are showing up for the appetizer. Because you know, some appetizers can be sweet, can be nice, can be enjoyable. Jesus says to you, it has been granted to get in on the secrets, the mysteries, the things that are not generally available to everybody.
So what is that mystery of the kingdom being saved for Jesus' disciples? Well, Tony will come back with the answer in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Bible certainly is the most life-changing book of all time, but it's not always the easiest book to understand. The Tony Evans Study Bible changes that. Tony has added extensive study notes, features, maps, doctrinal charts, links to 150 videos, and more to this experiential study Bible. The historic Tony Evans Study Bible, and also the one-volume commentary, is available now. Let Tony guide you on the path to greater understanding.
The Tony Evans Study Bible and Commentary, two of the most important tools you can have on hand if you're serious about understanding God's Word. They're both available today at TonyEvans.org. And don't forget about our current featured resource combo, all four messages in Tony's current series, The Seed Principle, and his book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. Both yours with our thanks when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222 for some in-person help. That's 1-800-800-3222. People who plant vegetable gardens usually expect to wind up with vegetables. But lots of things can go wrong between the seed and the salad. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about why some of those same problems can hinder our spiritual growth. Right now, though, he's back with his closing thought.
Now, the mystery of the kingdom is not first and foremost salvation. That's not the mystery of the kingdom. Yeah, you enter the kingdom through salvation, but that's not what he's talking about. He says, to you, disciples, it's been granted the mystery. The mysteries are for those followers of Jesus Christ who are not satisfied to be part of the religious crowd, who are not simply satisfied to be members of the church, who are not simply be satisfied to go through the Christian thing. Mm-mm. You don't get the mysteries. The mysteries are given to those who want the entree. And the entree is not the sermon. That's just the appetizer.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.